value? What drives you to do the things you love?
Things you love.
When you can't find it and you're not sure you have it, invent your own resilience. Just a day is a good day to be who you're meant to be.
Oh, invent your own resilience.
Hi, welcome to Inventing Resilience. My name is Megan and I'm your host. Today we're going to talk about accountability. Why it builds resilience and saves us from assholes. So part of my language in this post, as those that know me know I have a little bit of a potty mouth, I brought it up before, and it comes out for sure in this one. Alright, so accountability is something that comes up a lot in my house. I did write this post about a year ago, so there may be some adding and such to it, so we'll see how we go. But having three young children, ages 3, 5, and 8, now almost 4, or, ooh, God, I guess... 2 years ago with us? Okay, so my kids are now almost 5, 7, and 9. Yeah. 5, 7, and 9? I think I got their ages wrong when I was writing this. Anyways, it is a... No, because they're 4, 6. Yeah, okay. Yeah. Never mind. It is a massive learning process to ensure that they understand what accountability is and how it applies to their lives. I'm adamant as a parent that my children believe in this value. I believe as parents, if we fail to set accountability as a value within our children... then we're not doing our jobs. On a side note, my whole goal as a parent is to raise a functional, contributing member of society. So if you can kind of like view it through that lens. And what this looks like to me is raising someone who becomes an adult with good self-esteem, a strong sense of self, and personal conviction. Someone with integrity, which requires accountability, and someone that gives back to their community. When we don't raise our children to be accountable, what happens? Well, they become self-centered, hypocritical victims of the world around them. They become, in short, assholes. And yes, I realize that is an exceptionally harsh sounding, but it's true. A caveat that when you hold anyone accountable is that essentially, it is essential to be specific and to acknowledge your own personal perspective or lens that may skew the vision of events. So remember, facts matter. What was said or done is important when holding someone accountable is more important when holding someone accountable than your own personal feelings. There's kind of a theme when I'm reading like these like next few episodes. So like I went from doing the triangle pig, round, whole, talked about this. Then I go to empathy. And now I'm talking about, you know, holding people accountable. And so this post was written 2 years after the other ones. So I say this not because feelings don't matter in my example, but I take accountability to another's feelings, but facts are more important in accountability because if we accept the refusal of facts, then we can just erase history. That's just not going to be okay. All right, so I've worked for over 2 decades with youth, and in often is what their first job, like their first job ever, and have taught countless courses related to leadership training. I've had many a conversation with a parent that has made excuses for their child for either being late, not getting their work done, or not meeting a standard. The intention is always good, to support their child, but the result taught their child that they did not need to take the responsibility for their actions or lack thereof. This, in turn, leads to a longer and harder road for the child in question, because at some point, unless they hold strong privilege, which often they did, their child would experience a job, a course, a relationship where someone can no longer make excuses for them. Let's start with the idea of failing. Nobody likes to fail. Nobody likes to feel like they're failing. These are facts, right? It feels shitty. So when we as humans do something subpar or less than our best, or just plain wrong, it doesn't feel good. Simply put, it feels bad to fuck up. Another fact is that everyone fails at some point in their life. So not learning from those failures ends up in us doing continually loops of bad actions, behavior, and not growing. When we fail or do wrong, we have an opportunity to grow. However, we can only grow if we're held accountable for our words and actions. It's human nature to want to forget or minimize what we do when wrong. Again, it feels bad to fuck up. I cannot say that enough. As parents, we often want to protect our children, and this leads us to doing things like calling in sick for them at work, blaming teachers for a kid's poor behavior or lack of ability, or worse, excusing dangerous behavior in phases, as like phases of being a kid. If parents did a better job of holding their kids accountable, then we would have far more adults willing to do so as well. I'll give you an example of someone I had in a leadership class. The candidate was extremely strong in the knowledge aspect of the course. However, they did not have the physical skills to strength to complete the requirements necessary. The course was a vocational award, and it led to a certification where the individual would be responsible for the safety of others, and the physical requirements were directly related to their ability to do the job safely. So the student was speaking with me, seemed to understand why it was important to complete the skills. We took the extra time to work one-on-one and with another participant to try, again, gain strength. These parents, however, chose to push and take the perspective that I was the issue, that I didn't want their child to succeed. So instead of helping their child learn resilience through failure, they fought, tried to show their child that guidelines should not apply to them, got additional support and evaluation, only to have their child fail again. In the courses I teach, it's essential for people to acknowledge and learn from their mistakes. I too had to learn from this experience because the communication from a candidate and myself had no hint of such misunderstanding. Now I have a plan to acknowledge this in future classes and to hopefully provide a safer space for students to share. I could take the perspective that the candidate was two-faced or that they really just didn't want to face their own inability, and then I did everything I could, but that wouldn't allow me to grow. And that's me using empathy. So my growth is coming from acknowledging that my message was lost and that I could do better in the future, and I'll try. It is not possible for every person to be successful in everything. Read that again. It is not possible for every person to be successful in everything. It is impossible for us to be successful at everything. Another way of saying it. It is impossible for us to be perfect. Knowing this helps with accountability, because it's not so scary to admit when we struggle or are failing. If we understand that the vast majority are doing the same right along with us, we're all in the same boat. I've written my last few posts, so this is like before, and I will go them again, because I'm not doing them in this order, on privilege, representation, and the values of wealth, status, and power. The reason accountability is so important to loop in is that there's this misapplication of accountability to marginalized people. An ideal of capitalism is that anyone can make something of themselves, does not factor in that the playing field isn't even. It misplaces accountability on those without privilege, without representation, without wealth, status, or power. It makes it so oppressors need not take any accountability, and that those that being oppressed do. How is it possible to believe that those placed in a position with less resources, access to education, or opportunities are to be more accountable than those keeping them there? This premise directly applies to how white supremacy shows up in our lives without us even being conscious to it. I want to take the example in Canada and how we treat the Indigenous people. So I was born and raised and still lived in Calgary. I've talked about this before. I lived with very liberal parents, as liberal as Alberta gets. I read early, went to good schools. I should have been taught about residential schools, but I wasn't. I was not aware of the existence of residential schools until I was 28 years old. When I was first told, my reaction was quite literally disbelief. I told my friend that there was no way the Canadian government would do that. How could parents let their kids be taken away? It just wasn't possible. So I ended up, It just wasn't possible. I had to look up the Truth and Reconciliation Commission and went down the rabbit hole of just exactly what happened. That these schools were open until 1996, when I would have been 13 years old. So people my age would have gone to them. The purpose of residential school was to kill the Indian in the child. It was to abolish the Indigenous culture by isolating the children from their parents, their homes, their tradition, culture, and heritage. To force assimilation to the dominant white culture. In contrast, as a white child, I was taught that we, as in Canada, were a country that was a mosaic, one that embraced all cultures. We were led to believe that we were not a melting pot like the United States, that all regions, races, beliefs were important. I was taught this without ever being told the exact opposite applied to the Indigenous in our country. If I'm starting to sound upset, it's because I am. which I'm not. I think I'm a little bit more level-headed this morning. I remember that the white hot shame I felt when I discovered that everything that occurred and the misconception I had for our nation. The story that we'd been told, and if it had been up to some politicians in history, looking at you, Jesse and Kenny and Chris Champion, would be told that was that residential schools and their lasting effects were not and are not that bad, or perhaps not bad at all. And it's interesting. I'm gonna go on that tangent in a little bit, but there has been recommendations to take the information out of the school curriculum for younger ages, that these children would be capable of understanding or wouldn't be capable of understanding what happened. Residential schools directly affected the lives of 150,000 Indigenous youth and generations to come after. Approximately 6,000 children died in residential schools. And I think we know it's more than that now, because this was written before all the uncovered graves were found last summer. I would say it is more than appropriate that my children learn about what happened and how and why these schools were allowed to operate, given that they were compulsory for Indigenous children to attend starting at the age of 7. And I think a lot of them were younger now that we're realizing it. So, and people might say, like, this isn't it, but it is. Like, I go in another conversation about residential schools and that accountability, but the story that people tell themselves is it wasn't that bad or that we were doing good, and it's just not. And my six-year-old, when they did the Truth and Reconciliation Day this year, he goes to a Catholic school, was able to actually ask his teacher, why would God create Indigenous people in his likeness if he was just going to make them suffer? And, you know, she's like, that's a good question, and didn't have an answer. And it's not God. It was us as humans, right? We did that. So my biggest issue with the idea of possibly taking what occurred of residential schools out of our curriculum is that it would diminish the accountability, right? We, as in white people, did that or allowed that or allowed ourselves to be ignorant to that. In not taking accountability, we wrote a different narrative on the struggles of the Indigenous population, one that places entirely their circumstances and any difficulties in their lives on their own shoulders. Why is it that we can be more empathetic towards a wealthy white drug addict or young white youth breaking into facilities and injuring themselves than we can with an entire group of individuals that were subjected to years of abuse, physical, mental, emotional? Less empathy to an entire group being told that who they were born to be, culturally, language, everything, art, was bad or lesser than. Perhaps it's because we haven't been taught that we need to take ownership of the results of our actions and their long-lasting effects. And growing up, because I was so privileged and unaware, I didn't understand why Black people were still saying things like white people are racist. Because I myself had never met someone my age that was racist. To me, there weren't any more slaves, and so what was the deal? I genuinely didn't understand the long-standing effects of slavery, land ownership, redlining, and the systems put in place to continually hold back an entire race. Not to mention the corrupt justice system and all the police brutality that they've been subjected to. That racism was still steeped in our waters. When we think of accountability, it is hard to understand that it's not just about what we do personally, but also what we aren't doing. When learning about the Holocaust and the rise of the Nazi Party in Germany, it is easy to see how the us versus them group think got out of control. Facinghistory.org does an excellent job exploring this topic, and I highly recommend checking it out. Taking a look at what's happening in the United States, and so again, this was written last year, and the attempted coup and insurrection, the resulting lack of accountability for those that led the charge, fed the words, and created, enabled an environment that led to such violence is almost unbelievable. It's as though we have learned nothing from the past, and more so, that read about the past took completely different lessons than they should have. Those that voted to not impeach Trump, to not hold him accountable, are doing so because they, too, do not want to be accountable for their own actions. Yet those very same people believe that marginalized individuals need to be held accountable for theirs, that a rape victim must continue to carry a fetus of the rapist because of God's will. They protect a system that jails a teenager and holds them without trial for 3 years for allegedly stealing a backpack. The system that believes a young white male that excels at sports deserves 6 months sentence for sexual assault because of his character, but that a black athlete guilty of the same crime is sentenced to 15 to 25 years. A system that allows white people to shoot innocent black joggers on video with no charges for months. A system that allows a white cop to murder a black suspect caught on camera for allegedly counterfeit $20 bill. Accountability only applies to those that wish to hold power over. Their lens is dirty. So accountability only applies to those they wish to hold power over. Their lens is dirty. So in Europe, there are many memorials about the Holocaust and hopes of never going down that road again. Memorials that help keep us accountable for the 6 million Jews and millions of other lives lost in the name of the status and power. We teach history to learn from it, to change our societies, and to shape our world into a better place. I would argue that not wanting to teach residential schools to our children is an attempt to not take accountability to the damage that we have done, to continue to paint our world and that the indigenous people into a blurry visions of history. Accountability stems into so many factors in our lives, from oil and gas companies being accountable for cleanup of their sites and environmental laws of the countries for which they source their resources, to employers adhering to labor laws, to employees to showing up on time and producing the work they are paid for, the travelers and the pandemic ensuring that they get the right COVID test, hello, PCR, but before heading home so that they don't get forced into quarantine. This was when quarantine was still a thing. To politicians keeping their campaign promises. People try to fluff out of accountability at times because it's hard work. That's the truth. Being accountable for your actions is hard work, but it's worthy work. Accountability starts young. It starts by picking up toys that you take out, putting your own dish in the dishwasher, acknowledging when you've lied or done wrong. If we don't teach these lessons young, then we never learn them. If we are never accountable, then the whole world is a mess. Valuing accountability and holding each other to like standard is what is just and fair. Understanding the nuance of why someone reacted the way they did is important, like when one kid hits another and when the first one takes a toy out of their hand. Who's accountable for the situation? The child that hit arguably did the greater crime, but the child who took didn't belong to them was in the wrong too and wronged first. So what do we do? Hold both accountable for the situation. But it's not always that plain to see. An understanding for which each person comes from and where they grew up, how they were raised, their privilege or lack thereof, gives us perspective. Requires empathy. It's not meant to be an excuse, but it's meant to provide context. And if you were in the same situation, given the same options, what would you do? Holding people accountable, again, gives the opportunity for growth. Growth is where real change is possible. Right now, we need real change in our world. If you don't like the image in the mirror when holding someone, and someone is holding you to your words, your actions, or inactions, then maybe it's time to reevaluate your world and your values. Having integrity is matching who you are with what you believe, what you put out in the world. Now, I do say in the title that accountability leads to resilience, and it does. In the simple way that knowing that growth is possible when you take it, that no one is perfect, that is huge in resilience. Holding ourselves up to a perfect ideal is what drives our resilience down. Resilience is accepting yourself for who you are and acknowledging that we're all doing our best drives empathy and resilience. All right. So a recent story that I will say, because this post was again written a year ago, but I think it applies and applies to that parenting aspect as well with accountability. And it kind of ties in like the last couple episodes that I did with empathy and triangle and round peg, is that I had a conversation. So understanding again, when we say empathy and accountability and knowing what's going on. And then what I would also add to this is like living in reality. So I've started a new position and I'm mentoring, and part of the position is mentoring, coaching, and supervising, which requires holding people accountable, youth again. And I had a recent staff meeting with them, and they had everything planned out, and it was kind of like a storm of all events where I was talking quicker. And when I talk really quickly, A, I'm a direct speaker, it doesn't always go well with people, and then B, I had to talk quicker because we were crunched on time and I was trying to fit in too much information and activities into too little time. So, but it came back because some people left this meeting feeling very upset and in tears. And I was talking to my manager, supervisor, and leader, and they said, you know, we can't have people walking away in tears. And I said to them, you know, I don't necessarily think tears are a bad thing. I think that our staff are caring people, and that when you feel bad about, or you feel bad when you've heard you haven't met an expectation or you're not doing your job, then that's an indicator that you are a good person and that you care. That's not a negative thing. And this, to me, plays into that holding people accountable, right? We're so scared of hurting someone's feelings or being nice that we don't hold people accountable. Well, I would much rather do what was right and do the hard thing than be nice. So just food for thought, something came up. And I think that when you push through it, I think this group of individuals are going to do amazing and great, because they will have learned, right? And they'll be stronger for it. So anyways, what happens if we aren't doing our best? This is where I'm going to end. What if we aren't being accountable? Well, then we're perpetually the victim of a world of our own making. And then we are assholes. So let's not be assholes. And thanks for joining me. Have a good day.
What do you value? What drives you to do the things you love? Things you love. When you can't find it and you're not sure you have it, invent your own resilience. Just a day is a good